Recovery Radio, KMP 3000 Oaks.
Yes. You are listening to the Recovery Radio podcast on KMP 3. I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I will be your host. You can email me at sarcasticbigbook@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram at sarcastic.aa.book. Visit my website, recoveryradiokmp3.com. And to get the books, go to sarcasticbigbook.com. And as always, I'm so glad you're here with me. I don't know if your day's just getting started, or if it's just winding down, or maybe it's somewhere right in the middle. But here we are. You and me. And I am glad for that. And I am grateful I have no desire to drink today. It's not just something I say. I'm grateful I have no desire to drink. When I was a year sober, the desire to drink returned with a vengeance, and it was terrifying, and I didn't understand why. I didn't know what to do, and I wanted to drink, and I didn't want to drink, and I wanted to drink, and I thought it was a problem that had been solved and was gone. And then it came back, and I shared about this a lot on here. The very second episode I ever did is all about this experience, which was a nightmare. And I used to just go to work and lock the door in the bathroom and lay down on the floor and pound on the floor and say, why am I like this? Why am I like this? Why? So once I found out why, the obsession had returned. And more importantly, how to keep it away, I was elated. And I know that I have a daily reprieve from that. That's contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition, and that is it. So my spiritual condition is it's the number one priority for me, keeping in fit spiritual condition, keeping unblocked from God. So that the insanity of alcohol is in an arrested state, rendering the physical allergy of no consequence. And I do have a piping hot cup of French roast coffee from Trader Joe's mixed with some Don Francisco's Hawaiian hazelnut. It is delicious. You know, the episode that I had Friday, the email from someone who was helped greatly by the episode about how I take people through the four step, inspired me today to do an episode on just how I take people through the steps. And I don't know, I'm just one ding-ding ringing his bell, as I've said many times. I'm not an expert. I'm just sharing my own experience, strength, and hope with you. But I will tell you how I do it, and I try and do it exactly right out of the big book. So the first thing I do when I meet somebody, a potential new sponsor, is I talk to them. I don't have a plan. To me, it's not a cookie cutter thing whatsoever. Not everyone that I meet, not everyone who asks me for help, is in the same spot. A lot of people know they're alcoholic and they know what that means. Some of them don't. A lot of people that I meet know they're alcoholic, and upon talking to them, they're open to there being a higher power, and they're essentially on step 3 when we meet. When I first met with my sponsor, looking back, we talked for a while, and then he put me on step three, and he explained to me why, and we read some and this and that, because I didn't really understand alcoholism too well, as it's described in the book. But when I meet somebody, they're all in different places. So I don't have a formula that I use to take people through the steps all the time. Not everyone, in my experience, needs the same thing. So the big book says when we meet somebody, we find out what we can about them, ask about, you know, their religious background and so on and so forth, and talk to them about alcoholism if it feels right and becomes operative. And so that's what I do. So when I first meet with somebody, I just talk to them, and that's it. And sometimes they're confused about alcoholism, and if that's the case, there's times when I think we'll read the doctor's opinion together, or we'll read there's a solution. Or we'll read that and more about alcoholism. Because I was brought up in AA with the mentality of, you know, you have a malady that's going to kill you and you should treat it aggressively. I recently heard an analogy about, you know, if you went to the doctor and you had cancer, the doctor wouldn't give you like a tiny bit of chemotherapy and say, you know, we're going to take our time with this. You treat it aggressively. And that's the mindset that my sponsor had, and that's the mindset that he put me in. But everybody needs something different, so I just don't have a set, for myself, I don't have a set way that I start working with someone. It's different all the time. I talk to them, see where it goes. If somebody has a hard time with the idea of a higher power, I will read We Agnostics with them. And we'll talk about it. But I really do go right out of the big book. And the big book says that their hope is that you can just read this and say, that's me. And then you can get your ass up to step two. And then you can say, I'm open to there being a God. And you can get your ass up to step three. And then how it works starts with step three. So how I do steps one and two with people is different all the time. I talk to them about alcoholism. I read with them if that seems to be something that might help. We talk about it. If somebody has a problem with the idea of God, we'll read We Agnostics and we'll talk about it. But I don't have anybody do any writing. I don't have anybody define a higher power. Trying to make that any harder for people than it already is. Book says if you're open to there being a God, that's enough for step two. So I don't. I just try and do write what's in the book, and that's it. So that's me. So a lot of times, after one conversation or two conversations and some reading, a lot of times we'll start on step three. And how I do step three with someone is I read step three with them, page 60 to 63, 60 to 64, really, and I read it with them. We talk about it. Line by line, we talk about it. No matter what, I do that with everybody. That's where I start doing some of the same things every time. when I get to step three, we will read, you know, being convinced we were at step three right after the A, B's, and C's on page 60. And we will just talk about that and go through that and then I'm the whole time I'm doing it, I'm asking God how I can help this person. I'm asking God for an intuitive thought or a decision. I'm asking God to help me carry God's message and not mine. Help me not play God. The whole time I'm with a sponsee, I am seeking God. Sometimes, after step three, the thought I get is they should launch on into step four right now. Every once in a while, it's not. We'll spend a little more time. We'll talk about that. Step three, think about it. Get back to them. Let them get back to me the next day or whatever. See where they're at with that. But usually after step three, they're like, okay, I'm ready. And I'll say, I'll do the first three columns, just like they are in the big book. Just like I talked about in that episode recently, how I take somebody through step four. And then I'll let them go do that. And for me personally, if they don't do that within a day or two, I just kind of. It's usually not a good sign to me. Not always is this true, but usually it's not a good sign because it does not take long to do the first three columns at all. It just doesn't. If you're going right out of the book, it's brief. Page 65, there's the examples. So I have people do that. And then I say, let me know when you're done. And when they're done, we get together and we read from the bottom of 65 all the way to 71. Talk about writing the quote-unquote fourth column, their part, talk about that pivotal point. We start looking at what we've done. Talk about how minimally all of our resentments contain an inherent part, which is that my failure to realize that other people are spiritually sick just like me and nothing but love is personal. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the three tools that the Big Book gives us to start practicing right away. So underrated, in my opinion. And then, when that's done, we'll get together and I'll read the fifth step. First, I'll read with them page 72. To 75, explain to them what we're doing and why, explain my role, which is basically to be there to confirm they're being honest with themselves and God. Same thing, I'll be asking God the whole time how I can help this person. After that, I will talk to them a little bit about step six and seven. How in the big book, it's just saying all that stuff you just shared, are you now willing to have God remove it? If so, ask. But I'll have them go home and spend some time kind of meditating on the first five steps. Are you leaving anything out? Is there anything you need to tell somebody or me? All the stones properly in place, as it refers to on the bottom of 75. And if they're ready to proceed, we'll read 76 through 83 together. And we'll talk about how 6, 7, and 8 are brief in the big book, but very dense and full of meaning, and in some ways statements more than steps, but we'll talk about that and we'll get into the amends. And usually they will have a list of people. Usually they'll make a new list from their inventory. They'll, you know, write names from there. Sometimes that helps them. Sometimes not. They'll just use the inventory they made. They'll pull the names off of there. Just go off of that. And I will suggest that they start with the no-brainers. Go out there and start making amends. Talk about how in the big book there's some principles in step 9, but there's no real details of exactly how to do amends because every situation is so different. But it talks about the purpose, talks about the plot, talks about some guiding principles to keep in mind. And we'll go over steps 10 and 11 as well. Pretty quickly. If they're not overwhelmed by all that, we'll get right into that. But sometimes let some time go by and we'll read 10 and 11 and talk about how it's 10 is just saying live 3 through 9. Just live it. Live it. Talk about that. Talk about step 11. We'll read it and talk about it. And then get into this daily practice and for the people who go all the way up to step 12, usually read that with them as well, working with others, read it, talk about it, and all the while, they have problems that they want to discuss. If they need advice, they have questions, try my best to be there for them throughout and match their willingness. And if somebody doesn't latch on to this, I don't push it. Don't make them call me every day. I don't make them do anything. I match their willingness. I pursued my sponsor. I wanted direction daily. And so he gave that to me. Some of my sponsees want that, but some of them do not. And I just make it very clear they're not obligated to me, that I'm here to help in any way that I might be able to. Now, I said a lot. I said stuff in general terms, but that's basically how I sponsor people. And that's it. If upon hearing that you have questions that you want to ask or you want me to elaborate on things, please write to me. sarcasticbigbook@gmail.com. And hopefully that helps somebody. I'm going to give a shout out to Mallory. I'll give a shout out to Dr. Wu, Marissa, Katie, Yasmin. Special shout out to Dave. Special shout out to Chelsea, if anybody needs to hear it. Everything is okay. I gotta go to a photo shoot. It's for bikinis. It's for male bikinis. It's called Sober and Provocative. and it's written across the bikini. It says sober and provocative. It's like very wordy. It's just a bunch of letters all over you. Sober and provocative. On the back it just says, and subtle. It's cute. Kitschy. Waiter? Yeah. Is there a trap door? Can I just leave? I have not. I don't feel like I've been funny at the end of my shows for like a year. Sometimes when I say this, some very kind-hearted people will write to me and say, oh, it's still funny. So, anyways, I'm going through something with my male modeling humor. It's like annoying me. I'm annoying me. Dumb. All right, I'm out. I'm going to leave. Teats, get better. I'm out of here. I do not know why my life was saved, but I am going to go. Try to live a life that was worth saving, and I hope you'll do the same. Thank you.